It's wonderful to be together, amen. It's good to sing to the Lord. It's good to worship together. It's good to hear your voices and just sing together. You know, church is so vital for the believer. We would all agree with that. It is when we meet together, it's a time for us to re-engage, re-energize, hear from God's word, and sing together and encourage one another. And that's the theme for the year as well, right out of Hebrews chapter 10, is encouraging one another. And we want to continue to do that. I couldn't help but think about, as we were singing that last song, "Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead." And that's what Christ did for us. Amen. He took something that was dead and made it alive. We actually talked about that last week. If you'll remember, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What a loaded passage. And my dad, Pastor Danny, or Pasture, as many of you call him, Pasture. But Pastor Danny did a great job at orchestrating the scriptures, teaching us about this resurrection that will take place. And one of my favorite things last week that he talked about, and you all were taking notes and I was, well, we got to verse 35 through 39, and we talked about this question that Paul mentions there in verse 35 is, how will the dead be raised and what kind of body will it be? And in verse 39, he says this idea that God will do all those things. And the question he asks, and 50 years of studying God's word and pouring over the scriptures, and I was looking for this great, great theological insight, the question, what's that body going to be like? And he gave us the answer of, I don't know. So that's what 50 years of studying the scripture gets you. In regard to what's that resurrection body going to look like? I don't know. And so there are many things in Scripture that are unknown, but there are several things that we can be sure of. Amen. Is that God is real. Christ died for us. And that one day we will spend eternity with him and that we can have victory in Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, can you turn to, we're going to stay in Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians. And we're going to continue this theme that Paul lays out for us. As we saw there last week at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, we do have victory in Jesus. We do have victory because he has overcome for us. We also have this idea of to be steadfast and immovable and persevere and do all these things we see there in verses 57 and 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to continue that thought today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to go 17 through 21. Paul is, again, writing to believers, telling us that we should be encouraged to persevere, that we should be reminded of that Christ has done something unique for you, unique for those who are in Christ. It is the fact that we have new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read that text. We're going to start at verse 17. We're going to do 17 through 21. And really today, I'm going to just focus in on verse 17, but we're going to pick out a few things before we kind of dig into verse 17, this idea of what Paul is talking about with this idea of this new life in Christ. So you'll remember, if you'll read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll see that we have this tent. Paul gives us this metaphor of this thing that we have to live in, this earthly thing. But yet we long for, as believers, something new, don't we? Now, internally, we have been made new, and we're going to point that out today. But we've grown on. We labor on in this tent that he gives us, this metaphor, this body, looking forward to what will come one day. And for those of us who've been in Christ any amount of time, we are ready for that. We are ready for that. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Notice with me in the Word of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for our sake, get this idea of the gospel and the atonement, what Christ did. For our sake, he made him, that's Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Can we pray together? Join me in your thoughts. Father God, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, it is sharp and powerful. We see the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4 reminds us of that. Lord, we thank you that you took this dead and made it alive. We've just sung about that. Lord, we thank you that last week we were reminded that what is here will be resurrected and will be made new again, and that we, even though in this earthly tent, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Lord, we persevere. We carry on with the work that you've entrusted to us. And I pray that we would be encouraged, reminded, even challenged by the Word of God today, that we see this idea that we have new life in Christ. God, will you remind us that we have responsibilities, Lord, that we have a life to live, an example to set for others. So, Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged today to persevere, that we would embrace this new life you've created for us, and that you be glorified. Lord, above all, that you be lifted high and glorified in Christ's name. And all God's people would say, amen. I don't care if you've been a believer 50 years or 5 minutes. We understand that in comparison to eternity, that is but a blip. We are new in Christ. If you're here today and you've been a believer any amount of time, 50 years or 5 minutes, you are new in Christ. You have been made new. You have a new life, a new purpose, a new meaning. You are in Christ. I love what Paul reminds us here, several things. Before we kind of dig into verse 17, we're going to make a few observations that Paul gives us here in these few verses. Again, these verses are loaded, jam-packed. I was texting with some of the pastors this week, and we could probably create 3 or 4 messages just out of these few verses, this idea of being reconciled and ambassadors and new life in Christ and all these, verse 21, this idea of the atonement or the gospel that is taking place here. But notice a couple of things here that Paul mentions to us. Notice this new life, where does it come from? What's the source of this new life? Verse 18 reminds us of this. All this is from God, who through Christ, it's through Christ. It's from God through Christ. And the purpose of that was this idea of reconciliation, the reconciler, that is Christ. This exchange that takes place, this restoring or making right. Remember, all throughout Scripture, we see that we are alienated, we are separated, and yet Christ draws us near. He brings us close. All throughout Scripture, we see this, that God is the initiator of salvation. He is the one that draws us out. It is always Christ that starts the act. And notice this idea that we see here that Paul reminds us is this exchange, this being made right, this restoration takes place only because of Christ. He has made us right. He has reconciled us. If it were not for Christ, we would still be lost and on our way to hell. But because of Christ, we have hope. It is because of Christ that we are who we are. It is in Christ that we have new life. We have been made new because Christ has brought us near. And this is the idea of what he did for us in restoring or reconciling us. Who is Christ? Maybe we back up from that thought and think about who is the one that reconciled us? Who is the one that drew us near? Who reached out and brought us close? I love what Paul says. Again, we're going to reference Paul's letters because he reminds us so too often of who we are and who Christ is. So who is Christ? What is significant about Christ? Now, we would say, obviously, we know that as Christians. We recognize that, but we need to see it, don't we? What is significant about this one whom we place our faith and our trust and that we just got through singing about and worshiping and uniting our voices that we make much of? Who is Christ? Paul does a good job in Colossians chapter 1 of reminding us who Christ is. Notice Colossians chapter 1. Paul says, he, that's Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him, that's Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He, that's Christ, is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and we would say praise the Lord for that. Verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, right? We worship him. He is the idea of the groom, the bride of, we are the bride. He is the head. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, that's Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And notice verse 20 here. This is so rich. And youth, if you're in here, delicious. And through him to reconcile, right? Being made right. This exchange that takes place to himself of all things, whether on earth and heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. It is because of Christ that we have new life. It is because of Christ and what Christ has done that we are new in him. Also notice what Paul gives us here, this idea, not only the idea of the one who reconciled, but he has given us a ministry of as well to take this idea of the one who reconciled, who made us right, this ministry of reconciliation, to proclaim to others that Christ can change your life, just like he changed yours, and he changed mine. Not only that, is he the one that we proclaim, that we are ministers, that he has given us a purpose, a ministry, but we also, wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, any atmosphere, we are, in verse 20, ambassadors. Notice what he says here. Therefore, in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. We represent, we take forth, we show forth the idea of Christ's name wherever we go. It's kind of scary, isn't it? That wherever we go, whatever we do, our workplace, our school, our home, we represent Christ. When we're frustrated, all those things, we represent Christ wherever we go. We are his ambassador. He has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Puts weight on it, doesn't it? Puts weight on the fact that Christ drew us out. He made us new. He's given us a purpose to proclaim, to take forth this message. Wherever we go, whatever we do, he has given us this purpose in Christ. So let's look back at verse 17. Let's dig in this idea of what Paul has given us here. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What does it mean to be in Christ? Or maybe we could ask a question like this. Who am I? Who am I? Now that Christ has impacted me, now that Christ has come, we've seen Paul's explanation of who Christ is. He is the image of the invisible God. He's all these attributes encompassed together. What does it mean to be in Christ? And what is this new life in Christ look like? You see, to be in Christ means something that's taken place in your life. Something's happened to you. Something's been changed. Something's been altered. Something in you has changed. You have a, as I said earlier, a new purpose, a new identity. You have been, as Jesus says to Nicodemus there in John 3, you have been born again. You'll remember the dialogue that takes place there in John chapter 3, this and Nicodemus comes to Jesus. You must be born again. How do we inherit eternal life? You must be born again. You see, Christ changes us from the inside. Now, many of us would say, but I still look like me. Yeah, but internally, you've been made new. It's a spiritual thing, isn't it? It's something internally that takes place in you. You have a new life, a new purpose, a new identity, a new calling in your life because of Christ. And to be in Christ means that something's changed. Christ has impacted you. Notice what Paul says in Colossians. Again, we're going to reference Colossians a ton today. What a beautiful, rich book to remind us of what Christ did and who we are. See, Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 2 what it means to be in Christ. Notice what he says starting in verse 6. He says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in him. Walk in whom? Walk in Christ. Rooted and built up in in Christ, in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Notice verse 8. It's an interesting thought here. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Watch out for those who tend to draw you away, right? It's what John writes about in his letter in 1 John. It's be careful, watch out. There are those who are leading you astray. Stay close to the Word of God. What does the Scriptures teach us? Stay close to Christ. Notice verse 9, for in Christ, in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Incarnation, right? Verse 10, and you, believers, you, those of us in Christ, you Christians, have been filled in Him, in Christ, who is the head and the rule and all authority. In Him, notice this spiritual thing that takes place, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It is in Christ that we have been made new. It is in Christ that there has been a union that takes place. Christ drew us to Himself. He and us and He. It is in Christ that we have new life. So let's explore this idea. Let's explore this idea that we see here, that Christ gives us new life, and new life in Him and Him alone. First thing He reminds us of here in verse 17, notice what He says. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. A new creation. I love what the prophet Ezekiel says this, and God reminds us of this idea. We are in the new covenant. We are thinking about what Christ has done. Notice what Ezekiel reminds us, what the Lord says here. He says, I will give them one heart and a new spirit, and I will put it within them. God will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and that they may be my people, and I will be their God. You see, Christ has done something in us that is new. He has made us internally a new creation. He is taking something that was dead and made it alive. Many of you know what I do for a living. Terry and I have a business together. You know, I'm with Terry more than I'm with waking hours with my wife. You ever thought about that? We're reminded often, you're like, we spend more time together than we spend with our wife. There's something wrong here, Terry. We need to take more time off, brother. Terry and I do some, and you guys see it, we try to post on things that we've done, and we're proud of how God has blessed us and what we do. It's good to take pleasure in how God has blessed with you with your skill. You should do that. I'm not saying be puffed up and prideful, but when you accomplish something, take pride in it. God has gifted you, and many of you, in various capacities, and we're so blessed to have a church full of talented individuals. Amen? But we've done projects before, and you guys probably have seen some of them, where we've taken something that was beat down or broken and restored it and made it, you know, okay. It was okay. And we've taken some and made them new again. For instance, a few years back, we did a project in Cary, and it was a ranch-style house, and the people wanted not a ranch-style house. And we said, we can make that happen. And so they drew the plans, we worked with the architect, and we took a ranch-style house and made it a two-story house and completely gutted it and made it all brand new. It didn't look like the same house, it completely different, new siding, two stories, all because they wanted to be in one particular neighborhood, the oldest neighborhood in Cary there, in McGregor. They wanted to be in McGregor. And it doesn't matter if it's a little 1,500 square foot ranch house, if you live in McGregor, you have a very, very high, it's the high rent district, if you know anything about Cary. So we took this house and we not only restored it, but we made it new. It was brand new. And that's what Christ has done in us. You see, it's the old body, isn't it? And it is decaying. As Paul says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this tent is, it's just something we're passing through here. But internally, we have been made new. Internally, we have been given a heart of flesh. This stony heart, this broken heart, this damaged thing has been removed and been made new. It's been made new. Notice what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2. You see, in your life, God has done some amazing things. In your life, you can give testimony. If we were to allow time, you could rack your brain and think, man, God has been gracious to me. He's restored my marriage. He's restored my relationship with my kids. He's helped me overcome sickness in my life, cancer. He's helped me out of financial difficulties. But do you understand that the greatest thing God has ever done for you is he has made you alive. You were dead, and he has made you alive. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians. This is a wonderful reminder that he has taken something that was broken and damaged and dead, and he has made it new. He has made it alive. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were what? We were dead. We were dead. What can dead people do? They can do nothing. They are dead. We've done many, many funerals, and you've been a part of them before here. In this casket that many times is open here, we recognize that person is dead. That's what you were spiritually. You were spiritually dead, but notice, even when we were dead in our trespasses, this is Christ, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God's done amazing things in your life, but the greatest thing he's ever done is that he took something that was dead and he made it alive. You have been made new in Christ. You are a new creation. Notice what Paul continues this thought there in Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what he says in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, keep in mind this idea of this new creation. When you create something, you make it, you craft it. You do something different with it. It was something, and you make it something else. Notice what he says in verse 10. We are his workmanship. Beautiful thought, right? That we have been made in the image of God. He has drawn us out, and we are his workmanship. It is a work in progress only because of Christ. Notice what he says. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. We are a new creation. We have new life in Christ. He continues this thought. Don't you love when we just keep building upon this idea of this new life in Christ, this new creation that God has taken something dead and made it alive? Notice what he continues to say there in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, Paul reminds us, remember over and over in Scripture, we're called to remember that we were once this and now we're this, that you were at that time separated from Christ. There was a time in our lives that we were separated from Christ. There was a time in our lives that we were estranged. And you can think about those times. You don't want to go back to those times, do you? That we were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers through the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You understand the world has no hope. You work around, you know, you have neighbors that are lost. So do I. They are without hope apart from Christ, right? Apart from Christ. But you recognize as you spend time with them, as you engage with them, that they are hopeless. And so were you at one time. Notice what he says. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen? We've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. Remember, the world has no hope apart from Christ. They are without Christ, but they have our hope. The peace is only through Christ. Notice what he says. He himself is our peace, who has made us a new creation. He has made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Verse 15, by abolishing the law and commandments expressed in the ordinance, that he might create new creation, that he might create in himself new man in place of the two, and so making peace. And notice verse 16, and might reconcile make it right, right? This exchange that takes place, this making of right, what God has done, he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross and thereby killing the hostility. We are, if anyone is in here, they're in Christ, they are a new creation. Again, it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter the length of time that God has saved you. We are together new in Christ. Second, not only to see this idea of being in Christ and this new creation that has taken place in us, that God has worked mightily in our life, that he has taken something that was dead and that he has made it alive again. Paul reminds us, and things that sometimes we don't want to focus on too much, is that the old has passed. There's this brief moment here that he reminds us that we were something else at one time. That we were our old self. That we were outside of Christ. We were alienated, as he says there in Ephesians chapter 2. Outside the fold of Christ. It doesn't take us long to recognize that, does it? If you've been a believer any amount of time, and for those of you who were saved later in life, you recognize that there was a time that you had a past. There was a time that you embraced old ways, sinful ways, worldly ways, and you recognize what God has done. I love testimonies. And in our youth group, one of the requirements in youth group, and many of you know that, if you've been serving in youth any amount of time, sometime throughout, I'm going to ask you to give your testimony to the teenagers. And some of our sweet youth workers have been saved since they were like six. And so, you know, there's not like our sister Emily. You know, I think she was saved in the womb, like John the Baptist. Like, always been a believer. Like, she gave her testimony about, you know, I was saved at like 18 months old. You know, it was one of those things. But then there are some of us who recognize that we were saved later in life. And man, those old ways haunt us sometimes, don't they? But it is important to think about what Christ has delivered you from, those old things, those old ways. Again, when I asked our wonderful leaders to give their testimony, I say, give me 80-20. And they'll say, what is that? I want 80% new life in Christ, but I want to be reminded of the 20. 20% of, man, I was this, but God overcame all those things for me. It's the reason why I asked my parents and even my in-laws to tell us and tell their grandkids mainly how God saved them, how God changed their life, because they were all adults when they were saved. There was a past time in their life when they did not know Christ. They lived according to their pleasures. They lived according to their sinful ways, what they wanted to do. But Christ has saved them and given them a new purpose, a new identity. There was old things that God did. He overcame in their life. There were these old things. And Paul reminds us that we all have a past. And I love what he reminds us of those things, that those things, while we do struggle with those old things, that we many times have to put those things away, don't we? I love the book of Joshua. I love the character Joshua. And one of my favorite, besides Jesus, one of my favorite characters in all of Scripture is the idea, and even the book of Joshua. We see that Moses is gone. Obviously, Joshua is leading the people in, and they take the land. And we get to the end of Joshua in chapter 24, and we see Joshua gives this challenge, this charge to the people, this thing that he says. And notice what he says in Joshua chapter 24. He says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness." Sounds like a wonderful challenge, doesn't it? That would be a great thing for us. Fear the Lord, serve the Lord. And then he says this. This idea of these old things, these old habits, these old ways. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. You know, there are things in our past that we have to put away. There are things that we hold on to that we have to put away. And if you know anything about, and we study the book of Judges, they don't do that, do they? They don't put those things away. And it's not great for them. It doesn't work out so well. And yet we are challenged by the fact that we had something that was in our past and that we are to put those things away. You know, I love what the writer of Hebrews, we just studied this a few weeks ago. The writer of Hebrews reminds us as believers that we are to lay some things aside. Those old things. Notice what he says here in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, therefore, since we have been surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, as believers, right, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. We want to take those old things, those things we struggle with, those things that haunt us, and we want to lay those aside. We want to push those things out of the way, those things that hinder us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Who do we look to? Again, remember, we are in Christ. We have been made new. We are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Those old things, who do we look to? We look to Christ. We look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Wonderful Christological passage, right? Despising the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We look to Christ. We work at laying those things aside. The old has passed away. No longer does it captivate us. No longer do we hold on to those things. They are the old things. We've been made new. We are new in Christ. The old has passed away. I love what Paul says in Colossians. He reminds us of these things, these old ways, these things that have to be put to death, to move those things completely out of our way, the things that haunt us, the things that we hold on to. Notice what he says in Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, thinking about this idea of the old things, he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he gives us this long list: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And he's saying we have to put to death these things. Notice what he says, verse 6, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you two, we once walked when we were living in them. We have a past, don't we? We have things that we are not proud of. But now you must put them all away. Put those things away. The old things have passed away. We put away anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk from our mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. We have an old self. We have been made new in Christ, yes. We are a new creation, yes. The old things have passed away. Notice what he says in Ephesians. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4. He reminds us of our old self as well. He says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through its deceitful desires. We recognize that. We recognize that those old ways, those old things are corrupt. Those old ways of life are not profitable for us. And yet we are called to put them to death. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, but there is hope. There is hope for us. Yes, we have been made new. Yes, we are in Christ. We have a life in Christ. Yes, we do have a past. We do have things that seem to haunt us, if you will, seem to crowd our way, but the new has come. We are a new creation. The old has passed away. Paul reminds us the beautiful thought that there is something new for us, and we long for that, don't we? Not only in this life, but the life to come. Notice what he says. I love when he says, behold, take note, widen your eyes, look at this new life. The new has come, Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 again. So in Colossians chapter 3, from verse 5 to about 16 or so, we get this compare and contrast. And I'm going to encourage you to do that in your quiet time this week and even in your study for your life group questions. Notice the old versus the new. And notice this idea, this new life, or this new creation, this new self, the new things that God has done for us. Notice verse 10. And having put on the new self. That's good stuff, isn't it? The old has passed. The new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. That's, we saw there in chapter 1, verse 16. That is Christ. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, in Christ we are one. In Christ we have been made new. We have new life in Christ. He has given us new things. And notice the things that we're called to put on. Notice the things that we're called to put on, this new life. Put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. It's a tough one for me. Guys, I've shared that with you before. My wife knows this. Compassion is not one of my strong suits. And so God is working on me, and I'm thankful and I'm grateful for that, that God has, he has worked in my life to have compassion. It might be one of the reasons why we have a handicapped kid. I don't know. But God is working in my life. Compassionate hearts. Kindness. Again, not one of my great attributes. Humility. Meekness. Patience. You struggle with patience? Me too. Bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And notice what he says in verse 14. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The love of Christ, right? Not love that we make up. Not love that we craft. It's the love of Christ. It's what Christ has done. It's this new thing, that Christ, this new creation, this love for us. He loved us so much that he died for us. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace, verse 15, of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And notice this last thought here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Beautiful thought. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The new has come. You see, in Christ, we have been made new. In Christ, we are a new creation. The old things have passed away. That old has passed. But the new has come. The new only because of Christ. The new is given to us. These attributes are given to us only because of what Christ has done in our life. Whatever we do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We make it our aim to please him. We make it our aim to do this. Notice Ephesians chapter 4. This is our final passage here. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says this, thinking about this new life, to put on the, what? New self. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. Paul says to put on the new self. Created after the likeness of God. My encouragement to you today is to think about this. Our purpose in life is to live a life according to what Christ has done in us and to make much of him. To glorify God with all that we are. Because Christ has done something in our life that we could not do. We were dead, Ephesians chapter 2, but because of Christ, we have been made alive. We've been made new. These old things have passed away. The new things have come. Christ has made us new. If you're here today, maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe the Lord hasn't impacted you. Maybe the Lord hasn't spoken to you. Maybe today he is. Maybe today the Lord is working in your life. He is drawing you to repentance. We ask that you would trust in the Lord. That would be our prayer for you. That would be our encouragement to you. To grab one of us. We there's several pastors here, and to grab one of us, we'd love to talk or pray with you. And we could take one of these sweet ladies, for any of you ladies, we could take you and with them. But we would like to point to the scripture and say that God can change your life. And it is because of Christ and Christ alone. Believers, maybe you're here today and you're struggling with this. You're struggling. You're going through difficulties in your life. I don't know all of your situations. I know many of you. But maybe you're going through something that's deep. Something that only God can overcome. I would encourage you to trust in the Lord. I would encourage you to cast your cares upon the Lord, to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct you. He will direct your paths. Remember that we, for those of us in Christ, we are a new creation. We're a new creation. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you that we are We have been made new only because of Christ, in Christ alone. Lord, when we think about what you've done in us, we can help only to give credit to you. Because without you, Lord, we are nothing. Without you, we are lost and hopeless. Without you, we have no peace. Oh, but the new has come. We have been made new in Christ. We have hope. We have peace. We have a new purpose. And that is to live for Christ, to glorify the Lord, and make much of him. God, I pray that you would work in the life of the believer today, that you would encourage and strengthen, that you would help us to persevere in this life that we're living. Lord, we realize this is just temporary for us. We are in this tent that is passing away. We have something new waiting for us. But I pray that we would persevere. God, for those who don't know the Lord, it's possible that there is one here who doesn't know Christ. God, I pray that you would work, that you would draw, that you would call, that you would quicken, that you would open the eyes, that they may see Christ, Lord, that all of us would trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And we pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.